And now, live from Tribune Tower, Chicago, this is the WGN Radio Theater with Carl Amari.
Dragnet.
The Jack Benny Program.
I'm that man. Matt Dillon, United States Marshal.
Yes, it's Maxwell House Coffee Time, starring George Burns and Gracie Allen.
Good evening, friends of the Inner Sanctum.
We offer you Escape.
It's time once again for another comedy episode of Our Miss Brooks.
Suspense.
Countdown for blast-off. X-1.
Richard Diamond, Private Detective.
The Johnson Wax Program with Fibber McGee and Molly.
Kraft presents The Great Gildersleeve.
Yeah.
Well, Alisa Wolf, we're here. It's Thanksgiving, and we're doing a special edition of the WGN Radio Theater. What do you think of that?
I can't think of where we'd rather be than right here at WGN. We're in a different studio today.
Yeah, this is
on the seventh floor.
This is really, really impressive up here at Dan Long, who is in the booth across from me. You're actually closer to me now.
He's behind like a black glass.
Yeah, we have sight lines here in the studio.
I am very impressed at this studio up here. We usually do the show from the Showcase Studio right there on Michigan Avenue, and they bumped us up to the seventh floor. I don't know if that's
a bump up.
I don't know if it's a bump up or a bump down, but I think it's pretty cool. I like it up here.
Yeah, we're feeling Thanksgiving-y up here.
And can people see us, Dan? Can they be watching us on television as well or the computer?
Yeah, they should be able to see us on the stream at WGNradio.com.
Well, I wore a red vest. I wore a red sweater for Thanksgiving. Is that good? Or is this Christmassy?
I think it's a little Christmassy. Thanksgiving's more fall
I'm
tones.
I'm excited about Christmas coming up. So normally we're on the air Sunday nights from 11 p.m. until 2 a.m. with the WGN Radio Theater. And if you're a new listener because we're on at a different time tonight, we play classic radio shows, all your favorites, Jack Benny, Burns and Allen, The Shadow, Boston Blackie, Suspense, The Lone Ranger, you name it, we have it on Sunday nights from 11 p.m. till 2 a.m. Monday mornings. But the management was nice enough to give us a special gig on Thanksgiving night. And Lisa and I decided to come here and entertain our listeners till 10 o'clock.
And it's an extra day because we will still be here on Sunday.
Yes, we will be.
We don't miss a Sunday.
No, but this is really fun. I went to my mom's for a little turkey. And did you cook, Lisa?
I did.
You cooked.
I cooked a turkey on my grill.
Really? Wow,
yes,
that sounds good.
I cooked it on the grill. It was extra
good. Did you bring me any? I brought Dan Long some turkey.
I brought him some pumpkin pie.
Who do you like better, the person who brought you turkey or pumpkin pie, Dan?
You know what? I could go for both, so okay. I like both equally.
He's like very, Switzerland.
He's very careful.
Very Switzerland. I like
he's
that.
He's smarter than you are.
And we saw the great Dan Hampton in here a little while ago. He's big. He's a big boy.
Yeah.
I got right out of his way.
I could take him.
Got right out of his way when he was walking out. I did not want to bother him. I wanted to tell him how much I enjoyed him as a player, and it was nice to see him. But I didn't want to bother him.
No. Well, you know, it's kind of a fast turnaround between
shows. He might be wanting to get home and have some turkey. I did not want to get in his way.
I'm with you on that one.
He would have did a block on me, and I would have went flying out the window.
Yep, that's for sure.
All right, so what do we have on the agenda for this Thanksgiving, Lisa? Do you want to read the lineup?
Sure. We have three special Thanksgiving shows for our Thanksgiving edition. We've got Fibber McGee and Molly back from November 25th, 1954, Thanksgiving show starring Jim and Mary and Jordan. We have the Aldrich family from November 23rd, 1952, also a Thanksgiving show starring Bobby Ellis as Henry Aldrich, and Casey, crime photographer, November 27th, 1947, After Turkey, The Bill, starring Stotts Cotsworth.
Hey, pretty good.
So we have a great Thanksgiving lineup.
Yes, we do. We're going to have a great time all the way to 10 o'clock. And then what comes on after us? Some Bears coverage?
Yeah, we got Carm will be back, and Hamp and Kaz and OB for some Bears postgame coverage.
Oh, so the big Dan Hampton's coming back in here?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Are you staying here, Dan?
I'm here.
You
are
in for the count
here.
Yeah.
Wow.
Great.
All right. Well, should we start things off?
Yes, I think
we should.
All
right, let's do that. Classic radio is what we do on the WGN Radio Theater. This is a special edition on Thursday, Thanksgiving night, and we're really grateful to be here with our listeners. And as I say, if you're a new listener, please mark it down on the calendar that we are on the air Sunday nights, 11 p.m. till 2 in the morning Monday, playing three classic radio shows every edition. Right, Lisa?
Yes, and a little bit more. We do some trivia and prizes and games, not today, but on our regular Sunday evening show.
Yeah, we give away some terrific prizes and things like that. So check us out, would you? I hope so. Okay, time for a quarter-hour edition of Fibber McGee and Molly. Now, they were normally on the air for 30 minutes, but in the 1950s, NBC shortened their program, made them a 15-minute program, but they were on Monday through Friday. So they did five shows a week during the 15-minute era, but primarily they were on the air for 30 minutes once a week. I believe it was on Tuesday nights was Fibber McGee and Molly night. But this is now a quarter-hour edition, and each one of those 15-minute programs were sort of complete in its own 15 minutes. This is a Thanksgiving show from November 25th, 1954. Yep, it's Thanksgiving dinner at the McGee's, starring Jim and Marion Jordan. Here it is, without interruption, a quarter-hour edition of Fibber McGee and Molly.
It's time for Fibber McGee and Molly. Sundays through Thursdays, NBC brings you Fibber McGee and Molly transcribed. The show is written by Phil Leslie and Len Levinson and directed by Max Hutto. Our story in a moment. But first, Mr. McGee wants the missus to hear this. And you may listen, too.
Listen to this, Molly. Here's an article in the paper that says the average man with a college education will earn $100,000 more in his lifetime than a man without college.
$100,000, McGee?
Yep.
Well, for goodness sakes.
It sure is.
Sure is what, dearie?
For goodness sake, just like you said.
Oh.
Thanks to the goodness of a good many mothers and dads and the Prudential Swell Education Fund plan, a lot of kids are going to find the road to success a lot less bumpy than it often is.
Just a minute, McGee. What's all this about the Prudential's education plan?
I was just going to tell the folks, Molly. It's an education plan provided by the Prudential Insurance Company, and it's the sure and easy way for you parents to cover your youngster's college expenses when the time comes. With this plan, you can start building that education fund now, little by little, over the years. And if anything happens to you before junior's ready for college, well, the Prudential pays the amount in full.
Well, that certainly makes sense, friends. It's the surest way I know to start your youngsters on the road to success. So call your Prudential agent tomorrow. He'll be glad to tell you about an education fund plan for your children.
Did you have a nice Thanksgiving dinner? Well, lean back, relax, and listen to what happened at the McGee home today. It's long about noon right now at 79 Wistful Vista. The turkey is in the oven, the pies are on the breadboard, and Mrs. McGee is in the front hall talking to her neighbors.
Come in, Sally, both of you.
Oh, we can't stay.
No, Sally and I are just going to go over and visit my mother for a spell. And
now, wait a minute. You haven't forgotten you're having dinner with us around 4 o'clock, have you?
Oh, no. That's why we stopped in. I just wanted to know if there was anything I could get for you. Anything I can bring?
You just bring your appetite. We have everything else. I've got a big turkey in the oven. We're going to have chestnuts in the dressing and pumpkin pie and hot mince. Oh, and McGee's going to have a surprise for us.
A surprise?
Yes, he found an old family recipe for a special cranberry sauce, and he's going to make it himself.
Well, now, you can't discourage me, Miss McGee. I'm coming anyhow.
Well, he's been downtown all morning buying cranberries and stuff, and... Oh! He's back. Excuse me, kids. I got to protect my kitchen.
We'll see you about 4 o'clock.
McGee, is that you, or did the Army backfield just go through the kitchen?
It's me, kiddo. I just got home. Took me all morning to round up the proper ingredients for my big treat today, but I got them.
Good.
I'd like to let you help me make it, but Mother McGee's cranberry super sauce is a very special recipe. Particular.
Mm-hmm.
You can watch me, though, if you want.
Gee, thanks, kid.
Good.
But I'm going to have my hands full with the pies and the turkey and a few other little items.
You go right ahead. You won't be in my way a bit. Now, let me see. I wonder if this will be big enough to start.
Big enough? Why, that's a special kettle that my great-grandmother used to boil moose in.
Hmm?
Two at a time, if you...
Oh, why. I won't hurt it any. Now, let me get the cranberries over here. Get the bag open.
McGee, you know, we only invited the Nelsons, Dr. Gamble and his mother, and Miss Cuddleson, and the old-timer and Mr. Wimple.
Yeah, I think I got enough cranberries.
Hey, Heavenly days. How many cranberries?
5 gallons. And every single berry handpicked by me at 6 different markets.
What?
Yep. Getting the berries was nothing to the trouble I had finding all the right spices for it.
Spices? We have a whole shelf full of spices right in the pantry there.
You got fresh peppermint leaves, lemon verbena, ginger root, sassafras, oregano, or angelica?
Did you say you're making cranberry sauce or root beer?
Cranberry sauce, my dear. Mother McGee's cranberry super sauce. Well, I better get to work, too. Hand me the brown sugar, sorghum and vinegar, and get me a double boiler and a heavy skillet, will you?
Yes, sir. Coming up.
While the berries are cooking, I'll chop the citron, grate the nutmeg, braise me a grapefruit in a well-buttered skillet, and get this show on the road. Now, let me see here. The berries have been cooking 1.5 hours. So, the next thing to do is simmer the citron in the cider and stir in the cinnamon sticks.
Shades of Duncan Hines.
Hand me a saucepan there, will you please, Mrs.? Oh, and get me down 2 raisins, will you?
2 raisins? Large ones or small ones?
Small, please. That's going to be my contribution to the old family recipe.
Your what?
It's a long-time tradition, my dear. Every McGee who makes Mother McGee's cranberry super sauce always adds some little touch of his own. My touch is going to be 2 raisins.
2 raisins into 5 gallons of cranberry.
Just a touch.
Ah, this is a fascinating operation. Where did this recipe originate originally?
Well, that's an interesting story, kiddo. The recipe was invented by, as I recall, my mother's grandmother's great-grandmother's mother.
Oh, her.
Mm-hmm. They were crossing the prairie in a covered wagon, and Thanksgiving caught up with them miles from home. They claimed that game was scarce that year, and they had everything to eat but meat.
Do tell.
So my mother's grandmother's great-grandmother's mother whipped up this fabulous cranberry recipe, and they do say it tasted so terrific that she stuffed an old saddle with oyster dressing, served it up with this cranberry sauce, and the family all claimed it was the best Thanksgiving dinner they'd ever had that year.
You're kidding.
I was just out in the kitchen, Doctor, Mrs. Gamble. It won't be long now.
I hope not. I'm starving.
Oh, you're always hungry, George. Ever since he was a child, Mr. Wimple, he's always been starving.
Are you hungry, Mrs. Gamble?
Starving.
Well, now, we can sit down in a few minutes, folks. I'm sorry Miss Cuddleson couldn't come, Doctor.
Oh, so was she, Molly. She's on duty at the hospital all day. Oh, excuse me, I want to tell Les and Sally something about...
Oh, poor George. He was very disappointed that she couldn't come. You know, I think he's in love, Molly.
No. Mm. Oh, my.
Well, he really should be married, you know.
Why, of course he should. Everybody should.
Don't you think so, Mr. Wimple?
Well, of course, you can't prove that by me, although...
Is there anything I can do to help Mrs. McGee? Where's Mr. McGee?
He's still in the kitchen fussing with his famous family cranberry sauce, Sally. Well, I think we can all sit down now. Come on, everybody, take your places.
Oh, I'm hungry.
Now, right here, Mrs. Gamble, and you sit there, Sally. That's
okay,
it.
Fine.
Go right ahead and start on your fruit cocktail, everybody. I'll be right back. I couldn't hold them any longer, McGee. How are you coming?
I'm getting there. Strained it and mixed it some more, and now it's simmering. You know, I forgot how complicated this recipe was. I should have started it last night.
Well, now they're starting to eat. I'll make it as slow as I can.
Oh, don't worry. I only got a couple more steps to go through with this, and I'll be ready. What you looking for?
A clean bowl to put the peas in.
I guess I used all the clean bowls, but I'll let you borrow this one. I'm through with it.
Oh, dear, I never saw anyone who cooked so all over the place like you do, McGee.
Can I be of any use, Johnny? Finished my fruit cocktail and brung the plate.
Oh, dear, I'd better get back in there. Come in as soon as you can, McGee.
I sure will. Whoop, I gotta watch these pots.
Say, Johnny, that's some layout you got all over the stove. What can I do?
Oh, nothing, thanks. You better hightail it back to the dining room. You might miss out on a course, old-timer.
Rather stay here and watch you. Reminds me of the way Mama used to make her 14-day pickles.
Yeah?
Mama would start out the first day with 2 gallons of cukes in a stone jar. She'd cover it with boiling water, salt, and alum. And on the 14th day, she'd take them out of the vinegar, and let me tell you, no pickler ever experienced a more interesting 2 weeks.
Well, I can say the same thing, old-timer. Well, I'm about ready.
She used to call them Mama's 2 week pickles. But if you ask me, they should have been called Mama's 2 strong pickles.
Yeah.
My goodness, are you two still... Oh, McGee, now, we can't wait any longer. Everybody's yelling for the turkey.
Oh, okay. You two take it in. I'll be right along.
Let me help you, daughter. We can trot in with that turkey together.
It's a big one, isn't it?
Yeah. It used to be one of the best turkey trotters that ever rolled up his trouser cuffs.
Oh, look at that big one.
There now. We'll put it down here, Mr. Oldtimer.
Easy now. Easy. There.
Will you do the carving, Doctor?
With the greatest of pleasure, my dear.
After everyone else has had their favorite piece, Doctor, I'd like a drumstick. I always...
Boy, here's Mr. McGee.
Oh, for goodness... Well, here, sit next to me, Mr. McGee.
Yeah. Oh, the cranberry sauce is finished.
Yep, it sure is. It's still warm, kids, but... How's... Oh, is that so? Well, you just taste a spoonful. All of you pass your plates and get a spoonful.
Oh, it looks good.
There you are. Mother McGee's cranberry super sauce. Been a family delicacy for over 100 years. Don't be afraid. Go ahead and eat.
Mm-hmm. McGee, I apologize for all the kidding. It's great.
Oh, yes. I must have the recipe.
Johnny, this is the best I ever ate, and I've ate the best.
Dearie, it's truly delicious.
You all like it, huh?
I should say, give me a good big plateful. Well, where is it?
Well, to tell you the truth, you've had it.
Had it? What do you mean?
You had 5 gallons of cranberries, McGee.
Well, I don't know what happened, but after I strained it and simmered it and boiled it and cooked it, just like the recipe said, all them ingredients boiled to just one teacupful.
Oh, no.
How do you know?
I didn't even get a chance to taste it myself. Was it good, kids?
Oh, McGee, it was delicious.
It was, I'm glad. Ladies and gentlemen, we hope this has been a happy Thanksgiving for you, as it has been for us, with so much to be thankful for.
And we hope you'll join us in saying thanks to God for all the blessings he has bestowed upon us. For our homes, our families and friends, our work.
More than that, for our freedom. The freedom to say what we think and to do what we think is right. The freedom to live our lives without fear.
These are the blessings for which we are thankful today. And may God preserve them for us all.
Good night.
Good night, all.
Fibber McGee and Molly is an NBC Radio Network production transcribed. With Bill Thompson as the old-timer and Mr. Wimple, Arthur Q. Bryan as Dr. Gamble, Kate McKenna as Mrs. Gamble, and Robert Easton and Mary Lou Harrington as Les and Sally Nelson. This is John Wald reminding you to be with us again Sunday night. When Mr. McGee doesn't buy George, let a salesman put anything over on him. Or does he? Tune in and see.
Remember to join the great Gildersleeve and all his friends tonight on the NBC Radio Network.
That's Fibber McGee and Molly, November 25th, 1954, a Thanksgiving program starring Jim and Marion Jordan. And this is a special Thanksgiving program of the WGN Radio Theater. Let's take a break and we'll be right back. All right, we're back. I'm Carl Amari. I'm your host, along with Lisa Wolf, your co-host. Hey, Lisa, what's going on?
Hey, Carl. Glad to be here on Thanksgiving, and I'm glad to be here on Sunday. So, either way, I'm glad to be here.
If you're joining us for the first time hearing the WGN Radio Theater, this is a special edition that WGN management asked us to do, and we're so happy that they did because we ate our turkey.
I ate at your house.
I ate by my mom's. And my mom, my sister Carlene was there, my mom was there, and hi, Mom, if you're listening. And they made some turkey, and we just had so much fun, and then I jumped in the car and came down here.
Well, I have to admit, this is the very first time I've ever had Thanksgiving at my house.
Oh, boy.
Yes. We have a new house. It's a nice big kitchen, and there's plenty of room.
Did you give
everyone
a phone with the 911 button?
No, it was all good.
We cooked
the turkeys
everybody
on the
was
grill,
happy?
And we made a lot of food, and it was delicious.
Really? All right. Well, that's good.
I think.
Well,
I thought it was good.
So we're happy to be here on Thanksgiving. Please mark your calendar because we're here every Sunday night from 11 p.m. till 2 in the morning, Sunday night until Monday morning, playing classic radio shows, all your favorites, The Shadow and Jack Benny, Burns and Allen, Gunsmoke, Dragnet. We play them all on the WGN Radio Theater.
Yeah, and people give us requests all the time and tell us what they'd like to play. And guess what? That's exactly what we play.
All right, so to make a request, if you want to hear a certain show on the WGN Radio Theater, just search for us at our Facebook page. It's WGN Radio Theater.
You got it right. See?
I got it?
He's got it.
We also have a Twitter and some other stuff, but it's way too complicated to even get into. We also have a website for this show. It's WGNRadioTheater.com. Just go there, and we have our schedule of all the shows we're going to air. Lots and lots of stuff you can learn about the program. Just go there.
Yeah, Dan, I heard that nobody can see us here in the 7th floor studio, that the cameras don't show this studio. They're still showing other studio, but we will be back in the other studio.
And I wasted all that time putting makeup on.
I know.
They can't even see us.
People are going to have to go without their Carl visual.
Maybe that's a good thing. Right,
I'm wiping off this rouge, Lisa. I'm going to wipe this rouge off then.
Yeah, we have to get the mascara and lipstick too.
Let's put everyone in the holiday mood. Adam Sandler wrote and performed a very funny Thanksgiving song. Let's play that for all of our listeners right now.
They want to hear the Thanksgiving song. Huh? This is a Thanksgiving song. I hope you enjoy it. Love to eat turkey. Love to eat turkey. I love you. Love to eat turkey, 'cause it's good. Love to eat turkey like a good boy should, 'cause it's turkey to eat. So good. That clapping's messing my head up, man. I appreciate it, but I was trying to think of the next line. I'm like, all I hear is clapping. Here we go. Thanks anyways. Turkey for me, turkey for you. Let's eat the turkey in my big brown shoe. Love to eat the turkey at the table. I once saw a movie with Betty Grable. Eat that turkey all night long. 50 million Elvis fans can't be wrong. Turkey lurkey do and turkey lurkey dap. I eat that turkey, then I take a nap. Thanksgiving is a special night. Jimmy Walker used to say dynamite. That's right. Turkey with gravy and cranberry. Can't believe the Mets traded Darryl Strawberry. Turkey for you. White meat, dark meat, you just can't lose. I fell off my moped and I got a bruise. Turkey in the oven and the buns in the toaster. I'll never take down my Cheryl Peaks poster.
The great Adam Sandler there here on WGN Radio Theater. In just a moment, we're going to play the first portion of a Thanksgiving program on the Aldridge family. But first, let's pay some bills. All right, we're back. It's time for more classic radio. Oh, yeah. Pee Wee Herman, remember? feel like doing the Pee Wee Herman dance right now, Lisa.
Well,
but you wouldn't want to see
no
that.
There are no cameras, so I'm the only one that can see you.
I know. All right, Aldrich Family was a very popular comedy series, situation comedy. Henry Aldrich was played for a time by Bobby Ellis, and that's what we have for you now. Yeah, absolutely. And you know what? I have to do a live read, Lisa.
Okay, then you should do it.
That's why they pay me the big bucks. This week on Chicago's Best, get ready for a fiesta because Brittany and Elliot are going to find the best Mexican eats and treats. Chicago's Best, Sunday night at 10 on WGN-TV, okay?
Terrific.
All right. So, Aldrich Family, where was I? We were talking about
a good situation.
Henry Aldrich. This was heard on NBC. Let's go back to November 23rd, 1952 for a Thanksgiving program on the Aldrich Family.
Coming, Mother.
Yes, it's the Aldrich Family is transcribed, written by Clifford Goldsmith. One 17 Elm Street in Centerville is a house like many other houses. And it might be a very solemn and staid place if there weren't a boy in it. And when that boy is a typical teenager like Henry Aldrich, well, it's a place where unexpected things are always happening. The scene opens in one of Centerville's grocery stores. The time is afternoon.
Hello, hello.
Hello.
Hello, Mother, this is Henry.
Who?
Henry Aldrich, your son.
Oh, is everything all right, dear? Are you all through at the store?
Practically. I just wanted to tell you, though, they're all out of mincemeat, and I've been to two other stores.
What's that? They don't have any mincemeat at all?
No. Mr. Preston said people shouldn't let their shopping go till the day before Thanksgiving. He said that...
Dear, I don't care what he said. It's going to be a blow to your father. But I guess he'll have to be satisfied with pumpkin pie.
I know, but they don't have any pumpkins either.
Don't they have any canned pumpkin?
Oh, canned pumpkin?
And Henry, have you picked up the turkey?
No, not yet. I haven't been over to that side of the store.
Well, dear, you go over there just as soon as you hang up and tell Mr. McGill you want the turkey I ordered 3 weeks ago.
Yes, Mother. Only how about Sage?
What about it?
Hey, Henry.
What do you want, Homer?
When you get through with that phone, I want it.
What's that, Henry?
Mother, I said, what shall I do about Sage? They're all out of it.
Henry, they can't be.
Mr. Preston said it's a con of the late shopping.
Well, dear, you ask Mr. Preston whether he can't fix up Mrs. Aldrich with just a little Sage for her Thanksgiving dinner. I'm sure he has some put away somewhere.
Listen, Henry, when can I use that phone?
Gee whiz, Homer, can't you see I'm talking to my mother?
What's that, Henry?
Nothing, Mother, I'm just talking to Homer.
Henry, you aren't fooling around down there with Homer, are you?
What's that?
It sounds to me like you haven't done any of the shopping I sent you to do.
Well, I'm doing the best I can, Mother. Gee whiz, all I've got is two pair of hands.
Listen, Henry, I've got to use that phone.
Well, please hurry, dear, and don't waste any time with Homer.
But, Mother...
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Boy, Henry, it's about time.
Gee whiz, Homer, you have to push a guy right out of the booth.
Don't speak to me. Don't say a word. I'm trying to remember five different things to tell my mother.
Gee, I gotta get some sage.
Number, please.
Squash, chestnut, cinnamon.
Number, please.
Cinnamon. I mean, operator, just make it plain 232 without the cinnamon.
May I have your number, please?
I told you, 232 Elm.
Elm, 232.
Gee whiz, now I've forgotten our whole Thanksgiving dinner. Squash, chestnuts, cinnamon... Oh, boy. Squash, chestnuts, cinnamon.
Hello?
Yeah, listen, Mother, what came after cinnamon?
What's that? Who did you want?
Isn't this my mother?
Well, yes, Homer, it is. Have you got everything for our dinner?
Well, the only thing on your list that they've got is breadcrumbs and cleaning powder.
Well, did you get them?
Well, yes, but it isn't much of a Thanksgiving dinner.
What's that?
Oh, boy, cranberries.
What?
I just happen to remember cranberries. That's what came after cinnamon.
Well, what about them?
I can't get any.
Oh, now, Homer, they must have at least a few cranberries.
No, they haven't. Henry Aldridge got the last half pound.
What's that? Oh, Homer, you aren't wasting your afternoon with Henry Aldridge, are you?
No. Only, gee whiz, he bought the last cranberries.
Well, dear, I don't see how we can have turkey without cranberries.
Well, you don't have to worry, Mother. I've got something even better.
Oh, that's good. What'd you get?
Ketchup.
Ketchup? To go with turkey?
Oh, well, I like it on anything. And so does Father.
I know, dear.
And it's red. If you pour it on corn kernels, it looks just like cranberries.
Oh, Homer, did you tell Mr. McGill you want our turkey?
Well, that's another thing. There's only one.
Well, one is all we want.
No, I mean one turkey for everybody.
And Mr. McGill isn't sure, but he's pretty sure Mrs. Aldridge reserved that.
Now, dear, Mrs. Aldridge didn't reserve that turkey any more than I did. I asked Mr. McGill to put it aside for me weeks ago.
You did?
Yes. Now run right over and tell him.
Hey, Homer, I gotta use that phone again.
Well, just a minute, Henry.
Homer, is Henry Aldridge there?
Well, yes, Mother.
Well, he hasn't got hold of that turkey, has he?
Just a minute. Henry, what's in that big bag there? Squash. Now hurry up, Homer. Mother, it's all right. It's squash.
Oh, Homer, did you get any squash?
Well, that's what I was going to tell you. They don't have the kind you wanted. Look, shall I get the kind Henry got?
Dear, get any kind, just so long as your father has a good squash when he sits down with his turkey.
Okay. Homer, will you let me have that phone? Okay, here.
Well, thanks. Hello?
Hello?
Listen, Homer, why are you handing me your mother?
Well, hang her up.
What?
Goodbye, Mother.
Boy, will I be glad when Thanksgiving is over.
Homer, will you please get your oranges and flour and stuff out of this booth?
I'm getting them out, Henry. Listen, where did you get that squash?
There aren't any more.
There aren't? Henry, I'm getting sick of you taking the last everything in this place.
Homer, you gotta keep your eyes open around here.
Number, please.
Elm 303.
Elm 303.
Just a minute there, Aldrich.
What's that?
What do you got there in your hand?
Can of pumpkin. It was the last one on the counter.
I'll say it was. I've been looking all over for it.
For this?
That's part of Mrs. Bartlett's order. Now give it to me.
Well, gee whiz.
Hello?
Hello, Mother. What do you think just happened?
Dear, what is it you want now?
Well, I was going to ask whether one can of pumpkin would be enough.
Well, I guess I could make a pie with one can.
But Mother, they just took it away from me.
What?
The man said Mrs. Bartlett saw it first.
Dear, do you realize tomorrow is Thanksgiving? It sounds to me as though you aren't even trying.
Mother, you'll be glad to hear I got a lot of parsley.
Parsley?
Yeah, there doesn't seem to be much of a demand for that. I took 6 pounds.
Henry, do you have our turkey?
Oh, yeah, gee whiz.
You say you have it?
No. I'm glad you reminded me.
Well, you hurry right over to Mr. McGill and ask him for it.
Yes, Mother, I'll go right away.
Goodbye.
Hey, buddy.
Yes, sir. Did you want me?
When you took that can of pumpkin, did you pick up a can of cinnamon, too?
Cinnamon? No, sir, I haven't even seen any cinnamon.
Well, somebody took a can of cinnamon right out of Mrs. Bartlett's order.
Hey, Homer.
What, Henry?
Is Mr. McGill here at the meat counter?
Yeah, he's in the back room wrapping... he's wrapping something up for me.
Okay, I'll wait for him.
Well, he may be in there for quite a while, Henry. Why waste time? Why don't you go over to the other side of the store and do some more shopping?
Well, I finally got all mine done, except for one thing.
You sure? I mean, why don't you go over and get some cinnamon?
They don't have any.
Well, sure they have. I just got a can.
All I have to buy is something right here for Mr. McGill.
Oh, you do?
Sure. Hey, Homer, before I forget, have you got your composition written for English?
Oh, gee whiz, we don't have to have it ready until Monday.
Well, I know, but I'm going to do mine tonight. Then I'll have a free mind for the whole weekend. Gee whiz, what's keeping Mr. McGill? I'm going to go back there and look for him.
Now, wait a minute, Henry, wait.
What for?
Well, the composition is supposed to be about what you did on Thanksgiving Day.
I know.
Well, how are you going to write about what you did on Thanksgiving Day on the day before it?
All I'm going to do, Homer, is eat. I'm going to eat turkey at noon, and then in the evening I'm going to have cold turkey, and just before I go to bed I'm going to have some more turkey.
Oh, well, that's nice. Sounds like an interesting composition.
Now then, Homer, here you are. A very nice 18-pound...
Thank you, Mr. McGill. Thank you very much.
It's the last one...
So long, Henry.
Homer, you haven't told me what you're going to do on Thanksgiving Day. Homer? Gee whiz, is he in a hurry?
Now then, young man, what can I do for you?
Didn't you explain to Mr. McGill that he promised me a turkey?
Well, sure, Mother, and he said that he could definitely promise you one.
When?
The day after tomorrow.
Henry, I need a turkey for Thanksgiving, not the day after. When Homer took that turkey, did you tell him he was really taking our Thanksgiving dinner?
Mother, I didn't have a chance to. He just grabbed it from right under my nose and ran.
And Mr. McGill said Homer told him we didn't want the turkey?
Well, Mr. McGill said Homer didn't actually say it. He just implied that we didn't.
Very well, Henry, here's what I want you to do. You're to go over to the Browns and tell Homer's mother exactly what happened.
And demand the turkey?
You don't have to demand it, dear. If you just explain things, I'm sure Mrs. Brown will be only too glad to give it to you.
She will?
Yes, dear. Now start right away.
Yes, Mother.
And hurry right back with it.
Yes, Mother.
Alice?
Yes, Sam?
Where did you just send Henry?
Over to the Browns, dear, to get that turkey.
Now, wait a minute, Alice.
Dear, I'm sorry. It isn't theirs, it's ours. And we have guests coming.
But, Alice, the Browns are old friends of ours. You can't do a thing like that to them. Not at Thanksgiving. And besides, in all fairness, they have an equal right to that turkey. Now, the sensible thing to do is...
Whom are you calling?
Number, please.
Elm 391.
Elm 391.
Sam, you aren't inviting anyone else for dinner, are you?
No, Alice, I'm calling the market.
Dear, believe me, they don't have any more turkeys down there.
Very well. We'll get something else.
Old Hill Market, good afternoon.
Oh, good afternoon, this is Mr. Aldrich.
Oh, yes, sir.
I'd like to place an order with you.
All right, Mr. Aldrich.
Now then, I'd like a couple of real nice roasters.
What's that?
Roasting chickens, say 5 or 6 pounds each.
But, Mr. Aldrich, where am I going to get them?
What's that?
There isn't a chicken left in the place.
Oh. Well, then you'd better make it a couple of good-sized ducks. Personally, I like duck just as well as turkey.
No ducks, Mr. Aldrich.
No ducks. Now, wait a minute. You must have something. Tomorrow's Thanksgiving.
I know, Mr. Aldrich, but it seems like everybody waited till the last minute to do their shopping. My wife and I are having salmon.
We're having company for dinner.
I'll tell you what I can do, Mr. Aldrich. How would you like me to cut up a nice oxtail for you?
Oxtail? What for?
For Thanksgiving. It isn't the same as chicken, but it makes a dandy stew and very nourishing.
Yeah. Yeah, well, just skip the whole thing.
Now, will there be anything else, Mr. Aldrich?
No, thank you. I guess you've got everything. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Alice.
Which did you get, Sam? Chickens or ducks?
I've been thinking it over, Alice, and it seems to me you have a perfect right to demand that turkey from the Browns.
And, dear, that's exactly what I told Henry to do.
Good. But when Henry comes back with it, the thing to do is to call the Browns and insist that they come over here and have Thanksgiving with us.
But, Sam, that turkey isn't large enough for all of their guests and our guests, too.
Oh. Well, that's too bad. I hate to see the Browns go without... Yeah, I'll answer.
Well, of course, if we serve plenty of muffins and yams, we might be able to stretch it.
Hello?
Is this you, Father?
Yes, Henry, where are you?
I'm downtown.
Well, hurry on home. Don't dawdle with that turkey.
Father, I'm dawdling without the turkey.
What?
They wouldn't give it to me. Mr. Brown said they bought and paid for the turkey, and that's all there was to it.
Oh, he did.
Father, isn't there any other place to get a turkey?
I'm not interested in any other turkey. We're going to have that one the Browns have, and we're going to eat it tomorrow. Alone. They're not invited.
You want me to go back and tell them?
No, I'll take care of it.
Father, I'm going to go back to see Homer anyhow.
Never mind that, Henry. You come right home.
My father...
Henry?
Yes, sir. I'll be right there.
Alice.
Yes, Sam, what's the matter?
I have tried to be patient. I have tried to be considerate. Now I am going to do something.
What?
Here, Alice, take this phone. I want you to call the Browns and demand our turkey.
All right, let's take a break from the Aldrich Family Thanksgiving Show, November 23rd, 1952, starring Bobby Ellis. We'll get back to that in just a few minutes. All right, Lisa Wolf. Are you ready to play some more classic radio?
Oh, I sure am. Is it Thanksgiving? Then I'm ready.
It is.
It is. What are you thankful for, Carl?
What am I? That's a good one.
Thanks, Carl.
What am I thankful for? I'm thankful for my family. Definitely. I have a great family. My mom, who is 87 years old, she's the matriarch of the family, and she's amazing. My mom, Rosalie, she loves Life with Luigi, but I didn't have a Thanksgiving Life at Luigi's.
But we play it another time on a Sunday.
Yeah. And then, I'm thankful. I mean, my kids, my three kids, they're the greatest. And I'm just thankful for the opportunity to be on the air here at WGN. This is a dream come true, as you know.
Yep,
I talk about it all the time.
Yep.
Dream come true. I used to be on with Eddie Schwartz, and I would play classic radio shows on his program. And I used to just... be like dreaming about having my own show on WGN sometime and playing these classic radio shows for 40 states and plus parts of Canada. This signal at night, as you know, Lisa, reaches all across the country. We get calls from all over the place, and it's just so much fun. Normally on our regular program, folks, we're on Sunday nights from 11 p.m. until 2 in the morning Sunday, so 11 p.m. on Sundays. We play three classic radio shows every Sunday night here on the WGN Radio Theater. This is a special Thanksgiving show we're doing. And we also do trivia, and we give away fantastic prizes.
We do. We do movie trivia and celebrity trivia, and we give away theater tickets and restaurant gift certificates and whatever else we can get our hands on.
Lumelnati's Pizza.
We do, personal favorite, exactly.
And one of our sponsors is Cat's Pride, the greatest kitty litter on the planet. And we have a contest. So, folks, I would love it if you would enter our contest. It's absolutely free. All you have to do is send us, email us a picture of you and your cat and your name and your kitty's name. Send that to us at catspridephoto@gmail.com. And what happens when you send that in is you get automatically entered into our contest. And at once a month, the CEO of Cats Pride, Dan Jaffe, comes into the studio and randomly draws one person's name. Every month, we're doing this every single month, and they win a year's supply of Cat's Pride kitty litter.
Right, and we haven't done our Thanksgiving drawing yet, so you still have time
to
send it in right away.
Yeah, and, this Sunday
and
he's going to do it.
Yeah, he'll be here with us in the studio on
Sunday. That's a great thing about email. You can do it today. You can send it in.
And if you don't have a cat, then tell a friend.
Yeah,
who might
definitely
have a cat.
So send in a picture of you and your cat and your cat's name and your city and state. And email that to us at catspridephoto@gmail.com. And it'll post on our Facebook page. So just search us at WGN Radio Theater on Facebook, and you'll see our Facebook page.
Yes, we're there.
Yeah.
We're there right now.
And Lisa has her own website.
I do.
LisaWolf.com. And there's 12 million pictures of you? A little over, right?
Yeah, a little more. Just Lisa, almost as many pictures as you have of you and the WGN Radio Theater.
Actually, was it next Friday? We're going to get our official WGN picture taken.
We are. We're going to have a promo picture.
I'm
we're going to get
excited.
Some headshots. So we're going to wear our finest. And
we're going to get some pictures taken.
Makeup.
And then if people would want, I don't know why, but if they would want our picture, we'll send them an autographed picture.
We'd love to.
Oh my gosh, I feel like, wow.
Well, you know what? We'll post the picture and they can decide if they like it or not.
We'll see. If anybody wants our picture, I'm going to be so excited to sign it and send it off.
I would be excited to see you
we'll
sign
have an
it,
official one
off.
Pretty soon. Wow.
Yep.
Boy, I'll tell you what,
we're
that's pretty fancy.
Special.
That
I
is
know.
Fancy. What are you going to wear, Lisa?
I'm going to wear something special.
Okay.
I'll wear a skirt.
All right.
Okay.
That won't be in the headshot. It's in a headshot picture. I think it's like from our shoulders up. The skirt's not going to show.
It makes you feel like you're dressed up.
I'm not going to wear a skirt.
I'm hoping you don't.
I'm not going to. All right. Let's get back to this. All right. Part two of a Thanksgiving program from November 23rd, 1952. The conclusion of the Aldrich family.
Is that what she said, Elizabeth?
Yes, Will. Why, in all the years I've known Alice Aldrich, I've never heard her talk that way to anyone.
All right. All right. If they want to make an issue of the turkey, it's all right with me.
Mother, I'll be back in a little while.
Homer, where are you going?
Well, just over to Henry's. It isn't so late, Mother.
Homer, let's get this straight. You're not to have anything to do with Henry Aldrich.
Not ever?
Not until we've eaten that turkey. And if he wants to speak to you, that's his loss.
Yeah, but look, I've got to write a composition, and I need a little advice about Thanksgiving.
Well, you won't get it over there. I don't think the Aldriches are celebrating Thanksgiving this year.
Well, can't one of you answer that phone?
Now, Elizabeth, don't touch it. It's probably Sam Aldrich calling to pick a fight with me about that turkey.
Well, now, Will, the least you can do is talk to him. Even if he loses his temper, you don't have to lose yours.
Elizabeth, I'm just going to sit here absolutely calm.
Father, would you be willing to help me with my composition?
What's your problem?
Well, I have to compare what the Pilgrims did on their first Thanksgiving with what I did tomorrow.
Well, for one thing, you can point at what you did tomorrow.
Yes, sir.
What did you do tomorrow?
What's that?
Homer, what are we talking about?
Well, I think you should at least go to the phone and tell Sam you're not going to give him that turkey.
He'll find out soon enough, Elizabeth. He'll find out. He's found out already.
Well,
what's that?
It's the front door. And I'm not going to sit here and just hear bells ringing.
I'll go to the door. I'm willing to do that.
Well, let me know who it is.
The same here, Father.
Hello there, Will.
Well, Sam Aldrich. Aren't you, won't you come in?
No, thanks, Will.
Mr. Brown, is Homer here?
Now, Henry, you stay right here on the steps where you are. Don't bother the Brown.
Oh, Henry's no bother. Is there something I can do for you, Sam?
Will, I don't know what this is all about, but I take it that Alice lost her temper when she phoned your wife a few minutes ago. Just between ourselves, well, women have a tendency to exaggerate the importance of things.
You're right, Sam. I tried to reason with Elizabeth.
I'm afraid she went a little overboard herself.
When you get right down to it, there isn't any turkey in the world worth sacrificing our friendship over.
No, no, of course not.
And Alice will be the first to admit the same thing.
That's just the way Elizabeth feels.
So, I just wanted to tell you to enjoy the turkey and have a fine Thanksgiving.
Now, wait a second, Sam. The fact is, I was just going to start for your house with that turkey.
No, no, Will, no, no. Just forget the whole thing.
No, Sam, I mean it. Wait right
there. Gee whiz, Father, is Mr. Brown really going to give us the turkey?
Henry, if he brings the turkey out here, we're not going to take it.
Why not?
Don't you think I have any pride? I never got down on my knees for a turkey before. And then...
Hey, here you are, Sam. It's all wrapped and everything.
Oh, no, no, Will. No, 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 Will.
Where are you going with that turkey?
Be quiet, Elizabeth. Yes, Sam.
Oh, no. I wouldn't think of it. You keep it and have a nice dinner tomorrow.
Now, Sam, there's no use in your going down those steps without this. Here, Henry, you take it.
Shall I, Father?
No, Henry. Come along.
Sam!
No use following us, Will. It's your turkey.
No, Sam, it's yours. I'm putting it right here on the front walk.
All right, Will, if you want to leave it there, it's all right with me.
There it is on the sidewalk, Sam. I'm going back in the house.
And Henry and I are going down the street.
Father, hey, Father.
What's the matter?
Look at those three dogs coming.
What's that?
Hey, hey, get away from there. Stop.
Jewish, look. One of them took it.
What's that? He took it.
Come back here.
Well, Will, that was certainly a foolish thing for you to do.
What do you mean, for me to do? What did you leave it there for?
I left it. I left it. You put it down there yourself.
Well, why didn't you pick it up?
Why should I? It's your turkey, Will. If you want it, you go get it. Come on, Henry. We've got other things to do.
But gee whiz, Father.
Well, of all... of all...
What's the matter, Father?
Come on, Homer. We've got to chase a dog.
A dog, Father? For Thanksgiving?
The Browns have somehow got a turkey from the meat market that had been reserved for Mrs. Aldridge. And then while Mr. Aldridge and Mr. Brown were each trying to outdo the other with politeness over the bird, a stray dog ran off with it. The scene opens in the basement of the Elm Street Church. The time is that same evening.
Step right in, folks. Step right in. The auction's going to begin shortly.
Hello there, Mr. Johnson.
Oh, hello, Mr. Aldridge. Hi, Henry.
Hello. Has the bidding started yet?
No, we'll be starting pretty soon.
Pretty nice turkey?
Nicest bird you ever saw. A 25-pounder.
Come on, Henry.
Step right in, folks. The auction will begin shortly.
Gee, Father, I just happened to remember something. You know that darn dog that stole our turkey?
Mr. Brown's turkey.
Yes, sir. Well, I think his name is Dodo, and he belongs to that family that lives down on the corner of Main and Elm.
Where?
You know, where the fence is broken down.
Oh, yeah. That's the family Will Brown's always complaining about.
They got about 15 children.
Yeah, and two dogs for every child.
Pardon me, Mr. Aldridge. I want to get right up here in front.
Oh, hello, Mrs. Bryan.
Well, now, folks. Folks, we're auctioning off just one turkey tonight, but it sure is a beauty. They say it's a direct descendant of the first turkey the Pilgrims ate. Oh,
hello there, Mr. Johnson.
Oh, hello, Will Brown. Hi, Homer.
Hi. We aren't late, are we? You haven't sold a turkey yet, have you?
No, sir, but we're going to start right away.
Come on, Homer. Let's get over here to one side.
Boy, am I tired.
Does this tear in my pants show?
What tear?
When that dog tripped me.
Well, it doesn't show too much if you don't bend down.
Homer, why couldn't you have remembered this auction before I tried to climb that fence?
All right. All right, friends, here she is. It's all for charity, a worthy cause. Bid freely and generously. You may be sure good use will be made of the money. Now, what am I offered for this beautiful turkey?
$15.
$15 I'm bid. That's an insult to this beautiful bird. I wouldn't be surprised to see her get up and walk off in a huff. Who'll make it $18?
$20
I have. Why, the drumsticks are worth that.
25.
Now it's 25. Now it's 25.
30.
Now it's 30. Now we're going. I have 30 bids.
Father, aren't you going to bid?
$30.50.
No, I'm sorry, Mr. Brown. I'm only taking dollar bids on this. It's all for charity.
All right, then. Make it 30. 31.
31 what, Father? 31 what?
Dollars, I'm afraid.
31. 31 it is. Who'll make it 32?
33. I mean 32.
No, I heard you the first time, lady. 33 you made it, and thank you.
35.
35 I'm bid. 35.
Well, Homer, I guess that lets us out.
35 I have from Mr. Aldridge. Who'll make it 40?
Homer, did he say Aldridge?
Well, gee whiz.
Who'll make it 40?
45.
45 I'm bid. 45.
That'll show Sam Aldridge.
45, Mr.
50.
55.
Gee whiz, Father.
Keep quiet, Homer.
55 on bid, 55. Who'll make it 60?
60.
Well, thank you, Mr. Brown. You raised your own bid. Thank you.
I did?
65.
67.
70. 70 I have. 70 for charity. 70 once, 70 twice.
Father, suppose Mother hears about this.
70 twice to him off.
What did he say, Homer? I don't want to make another mistake.
Do I hear more?
Father, I'd like to...
Now listen, Homer, for the last time, be quiet.
Sold for $70 to Samuel Aldridge.
To who? That's a fine thing. And, Homer, it's all your fault.
Mine?
Well, how are you, Will?
How are you, Sam?
Mr. Aldrich, if you'll step up here and pay your $70.
All right, I'll be happy to.
Bye, Homer.
Bye, Henry.
Mr. Aldrich, I want you to know this turkey is going to be wrapped and sent to one of the most deserving families in town.
What's that?
And presented, of course, with the compliments of the whole Aldrich family. What?
Oh, boy.
Dodo. Come here, Dodo. Nice doggy, Dodo.
Won't he give you the turkey, Papa? Dodo, give Papa the turkey.
Junior, keep away. Do you want to frighten him? Here, Dodo. Give me that turkey. That's a nasty turkey, Dodo. You won't like it.
Papa, where do you suppose he got it?
Natalie, will you stand back and all the rest of you keep back?
All right. Stand back, everybody, and let Papa get the turkey.
Now, Dodo... For the last time, I want that turkey. We need that turkey. We haven't had a turkey dinner in this house in years.
Daddy got it! Daddy, where's we got a turkey?
And look at it, look at it.
Where do you suppose Dodo found that turkey, Papa?
Well, I don't believe in looking a gift dog in the mouth. Besides, Dodo knows a lot of people in this town. Is that the front door?
Yes, Papa.
It is? Now, look, Junior, take this turkey and go into the kitchen with it.
All right. It's our turkey now.
Good evening, Mr. Foley. I've got a surprise for you.
What's that, Mr. Johnson?
Here you are. It's partly from the Elm Street Church and partly from Sam Aldridge.
Well, what's this, a turkey?
A 25-pounder and all the trimmings to go with it.
Oh, Papa!
Gee whiz, another turkey!
Happy Thanksgiving!
Happy Thanksgiving!
Happy Thanksgiving!
Just a minute, Alice, and I'll turn the light out.
Don't forget to open the window before you get into bed.
Mother?
Yes, Henry, come in.
Mother, I hate to bother you, but could you look over this composition for spelling?
Not tonight, dear, but leave it here. I'll go over it in the morning.
All right, and thanks.
Good night, Henry.
Good night.
Good night, dear.
You know, Alice, I've been thinking it over.
You've been thinking what over, Sam?
I don't see any reason why we should ask the Browns over for dinner tomorrow.
To be quite frank, dear, I agree with you.
I'll admit we've been good friends, but after the way Will acted today...
And I didn't like Elizabeth's attitude.
So we might just as well...
Dear, how do you spell Pocahontas?
What's that?
I guess Henry spelled it right.
Anyway, I don't see any point in having guests here for a dinner of cranberries and chestnuts.
But, dear, I told you we're also having corned beef hash.
Hash?
Of course, I know it isn't turkey, but... Sam, how do you spell Pocahontas?
Pocahontas?
There's no K in it, is there?
There may be in the original Indian spelling.
Sam, listen to this.
Listen to what?
What I Did on Thanksgiving by Henry W. Aldrich.
Thanksgiving's tomorrow.
Yes, dear, but stop interrupting. This year, the same as last year, we did the same old stuff that we did every other year. To begin with, our dinner consisted of turkey. Only he scratched that out and wrote chicken.
Yeah? Where does he think he's going to eat chicken?
Then he scratched that out and just left it blank.
Oh.
After we finished this hearty meal, we felt very stuffed and all sat around and talked about the price of things and the weather and business and stuff like that. Back in the old days, however, it was much more interesting. Then there wasn't much food for anybody, and the pilgrims had to shoot turkeys just like Indians. Pocahontas was one Indian, for example, but she was a good Indian. Mincemeat, in those days, they didn't have at that time, nor things like sage, because no more ships came in that year. When you once got some food, you had to hang on to it for dear life because almost anybody might steal it, usually a wolf. There were no stores to buy things, so if a wolf took your turkey and stuff, you were out of luck.
Let me see that, Aunt. But it was because of all this that the Pilgrim Fathers, from whom we are all sprung, celebrated their first Thanksgiving and bowed their heads when they sat down over what was in many cases just plain cornmeal mush, which is something that even my mother has never gotten me to like as much as I admire the Pilgrims for the other things they did. But even cornmeal mush is all right, I guess, as long as they had neighbors to share it. Because, as my father says, when it comes to Thanksgiving, it's the spirit and not the stuffing that counts.
Your father, Homer's on the phone. His folks say if we could bring over a few eggs, they have some cornmeal to make cornmeal muffins, and won't we come over for dinner tomorrow?
What do you mean, won't we come over? You tell them to pack up their cornmeal and come over here.
I can ask them.
Yes, dear, and tell Mrs. Brown if she has any cinnamon to please bring it. I'm going to make applesauce.
What time are we having dinner?
Not for another hour or so, dear.
Well, look, Mr. Foley's dog, Dodo, is out in the front yard.
Yes, Henry.
And Homer and I are going to take him and do a little hunting.
Hunting, dear?
Just around the neighborhood and see what we can dig up.
The Aldridge Family is transcribed as written by Clifford Goldsmith. Henry is played by Bobby Ellis and Homer by Jack Grimes. Mr. and Mrs. Aldridge are House Jameson and Catherine Rott. Your announcer is Dick Dudley. Listen again next week, same time, same station, for another sparkling half hour with the Aldridge Family.
Good night, everybody.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
And that is The Aldridge Family, November 23rd, 1952, a Thanksgiving program starring Bobby Ellis. Hope you enjoyed that. Let's take a break, then it's more here on the WGN Radio Theater. All right, we're back. It is the 9:09 hour of the WGN Radio Theater on a special edition of the Thanksgiving program. WGN Radio Theater, they asked us to be on Thanksgiving. Is that great? What an honor.
It is an honor. We're feeling pretty special here on the seventh floor.
Yeah,
I don't know. It's a new vibe up here.
It is cool. I like it up here. We are normally on Sunday nights, 11 p.m. until 2 a.m. Monday morning. And that's where we play all the classic radio shows. If you like these 1930s, 40s, and 50s classic radio shows like Jack Benny and The Shadow and Gunsmoke and The Whistler and Boston Blackie, and Nero Wolfe, who is your uncle,
my
right?
My uncle Nero. Then yeah, you are in the Nero. Right place if you like that stuff, because
yeah,
that's what we do here on the WGN Radio Theater.
Right, and Todd Manley and Stephanie Menendez said, hey, would you like to do a Thanksgiving program, 7:30 to 10? And Lisa and I were like...
Yeah, they didn't have to talk us
no,
into it at all.
Jumped at it. And we had our turkey. I had turkey at my mom's. Lisa had turkey at her house. She cooked a turkey.
I had turkey at my house, a whole feast at my house. I'm sort
wow.
of feeling very proud that I did that.
And she didn't bring me any. But I brought Dan Long some turkey.
I brought him dessert. So we're on even tread here. Dessert's
this
pretty important.
This poor guy, Dan Long, he was here. What time did you get here today?
About 5:30.
5:30. And you're here till when?
Midnight.
Oh, man. On Thanksgiving. Dedication. That is dedication.
You know, that's how you climb up the ladder.
He is the
that's
best in the business, oh, Dan Long.
You know, it's WGN radio. Those worst places to be stuck. On
yes, I agree with
it's
you.
It's a lot of fun being here. And especially
with us, right,
yeah,
Dan? I mean,
right.
You know.
Dan loves us.
We keep telling ourselves that.
So this hour, Lisa, we're going to play a detective program. Casey, crime photographer. You know all about this guy?
Yes, I do.
A little bit?
I do.
He took pictures for crime scenes, but he was so good at that, he was able to solve the crime before the police did. That was the whole concept. So we're going to listen to that in just a moment. You will like it, Casey Crime Photographer. I have a live read, though. Tomorrow, put your Thanksgiving leftovers on ice. The Blackhawks face off against Western Conference rival Anaheim. Watch all the action tomorrow at 4 on WGN-TV. And you have one, too.
Yes, the world-famous WGN Chicago personalized calendars for 2016 are available now in the featured section on WGNradio.com. This year, Chicago is captured in black and white. Ooh, that sounds really nice. Presented in a special and one-of-a-kind way in the 2016 2Ks calendar. This is the eighth year for these highly sought-after calendars, and this is the first year it's all black and white. Not only does it feature Chicago landmarks as seen through the lens of our spectacular photographers, but the images are created with your name seamlessly blended in. You'll enjoy a view of Chicago that will change the way you look at the city forever. These black and white calendars add a whole new level of class and elegance. Give a gift that is completely 100% original. Go to WGNradio.com and scroll down to the feature section. Make a purchase of our calendar and a portion of the proceeds benefit JDRF. To make 2016 an epic year, you have to start with an epic calendar. The 2Ks calendar available in the feature section at WGNradio.com.
All right. Very, very good.
All righty.
All right. Ready for some classic radio that has a Thanksgiving theme?
Yes. After Turkey, the Bill.
That's the title of this episode. Stotts Cotsworth yep. played Casey Crime Photographer. When it moved to television, Darren McGavin played him. You, of course, know who Darren McGavin is. Remember Night Stalker?
Yes, sure.
Remember that show? That was a good show. He was also the dad on A Christmas Story. Remember that?
They play it every year.
The little boy who you shoot your eye out. Remember that movie? Mm-hmm. Oh, gosh. Gene Shepard wrote that. What a terrific movie. All right, so it's time for Casey Crime Photographer, sponsored by Anchor Hocking Glass. November 27th, 1947, After Turkey the Bill, here's part one of Casey, Crime Photographer.
The Anchor Hawking Glass Corporation brings you Crime Photographer.
Say, Casey, do you think they'll ever put my statue in the Hall of Fame?
What are you famous for, Ethelbert?
For 27 straight years, I always got the same part of the turkey. That's some kind of a record, ain't it?
Well, because you consistently get it in the neck, that might make you notorious, but not really famous.
No, Ethelbert. You know, you have to do something really big, you know, something important to deserve a famous name.
Like what?
Well, like Anchor Hawking, the most famous name in glass. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Tony Marvin. Every week at this time, the Anchor Hawking Glass Corporation of Lancaster, Ohio, and its more than 10,000 employees bring you another adventure of Casey Crime Photographer, ace cameraman who covers the crime news of a great city. Written by Alonzo Dean Cole, our adventure for tonight, After Turkey, the Bill. Seven o'clock in the evening, a medium-priced uptown restaurant known as Petrakis's Olympian. At a table for two, a flashily dressed young man pushes aside his empty plate and says to the pretty girl who sits opposite,
"Hey, that turkey wasn't half bad."
You didn't leave much of it.
Neither did you. Should I order dessert now?
Uh-huh.
Hey, waiter. Gus.
Okay, Keith. What do you want now, Joe?
We're ready for the plum pudding now.
Two plums pudding.
That's what you want, too, isn't it, Lottie?
Yes, and coffee.
Same here.
Okay, Keith.
I don't know why you won't let me do anything for you in a classy way, Lottie. I asked you out for a Thanksgiving spread, and you made me bring you to a cheap place like this.
Joe, you can't afford to throw your money away.
How do you know what I can afford? I may not have as good a job as my cousin Bird yet, but that doesn't
What's
mean I...
What's Bird got to do with it?
He's got plenty to do with it. You didn't have to work today. You'd be out with him now instead of me, I know.
Bert isn't working tonight, Joe. He came home before we left there. I could have had dinner with him if I'd wanted.
Yeah.
Oh, don't be like that, please.
Why shouldn't I be? While I was away, you and him became awful good friends.
We were always friends, the three of us. We grew up on the same block.
Yeah, but while I was away, he moved into your old man's room and house so we could be closer friends.
Oh, don't start that again tonight. We're out for a pleasant evening, and it has been pleasant so far. Please, Joe.
All right. Comes our dessert.
2 plums of pudding. And coffee.
You know, when you go out with me, Lottie, you're going to get class whether you think I can afford it or not. I'm going to take you to Dance Land. I'm going to buy you a whole roll of tickets. Best you'd get out of that tightwad fur is a soda in a movie. All right, that's all now, Gus. Bring me a check, will you?
You said it, Joe.
All right, Joe, since you won't drop the subject, we'll talk about Bird.
Swell.
He wants me to marry him.
Figured that from that dirty double-crosser.
He isn't a double-crosser.
He knows I've been going with you since we were kids and I've always been crazy about you. And while I was taking that bum rap on the reformatory...
You didn't take a bum rap, Joe. You asked for what you got.
All right, so the cops had the goods on me. That gave Ferd no right
to... It gave me a right. To do a lot of thinking.
Mm-hmm. And so you decided a sneaky yellow drip like my cousin is a better bet than me, huh?
I don't think Ferd is sneaky or yellow.
Oh, you don't, huh?
No. And I don't think you're a criminal.
It's nice of you to say that.
I'm not being nice. I'm saying what I believe. If you make me sure you've learned your lesson,
Yeah?
Well, you won't have to worry about me liking Ferd or anyone. There's never really been anybody but you, Joe. Only I've got to be sure.
How do I make you sure, Lottie?
Just show me and Dad that you're steady, that's all.
And I've been showing you that since I came back. Didn't I get a job right away?
Yes, Joe, but I don't see how you can afford those 2 new suits and that overcoat with what you're making.
Oh, I get it. Ferd can buy clothes or take you out, and it's okay, isn't it? He's never had trouble with the cops. But the minute I spend an extra buck, you and your old man figure I've glommed it somewhere.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes. Your old man especially. Hates my insides. He don't want you to have anything to do with me.
If Dad hated you, he wouldn't let you stay at our rooming house.
He rents rooms, and I pay for the one I rent. That's business. And to ease your mind about the extra dough I spent, Lottie, I'm a lucky guy with dice and a good pool player.
Here's your check, kid.
Thanks, Gus. Pay you so we can get out of here. We're going to Dance Land, and we're... What?
Joe?
I haven't got my wallet.
Oh, you've lost your money?
I don't know. Maybe I left it home.
Well, phone Dad. He'll look in your room.
Well, if he found it, I'd have to go there for it. It's only a few blocks. You stay here, Lottie, while I go and see...
Oh, you don't have to leave the lady here, kid. You're an old customer. I know you come back and pay.
Well, thanks, Gus, but I can make better time alone. Hand me my overcoat, even that racket's the blue one there.
Sure. Oh, it's a fancy coat. Nice and bright, with red stripes. You got a class, kid.
Yeah, but right now I got no dough. I'll come back as soon as I can, Lottie.
I hope you find your money,
kid. Yeah, I hope so, too. And how.
Gee, Casey, it's nice of you and Miss Williams to have Thanksgiving dinner here in the Blue Note with me.
Oh, we're nice people, Ethelbert.
Well, the very best. True, warm-hearted, and generous to a fault. Pass the salt,
Paul. Also honest, kind, and steadfast. Here's the salt and pepper.
You know, we're really understating our sterling qualities, Annie. We've risen to the heights of magnanimity, whatever that is, by chewing Thanksgiving turkey in this crummy joint we see every day simply because our little pal here had to work. Could only get away from his bartending long enough to grab a meal on the house. We hope you appreciate our sacrifice, Ethelbert.
Oh, I do.
Good. Pardon my reach for the Tabasco. To prove your gratitude, Ethelbert, you can pay for our dinners.
Yeah, well...
Tabasco, Annie?
Huh?
Thanks. Say, you've made a splendid suggestion, Casey. Paying our bill will relieve Ethelbert of a small part of his obligation for our company.
Yep. Say, come to think of it, you two are working today yourselves. You didn't have time to get a full meal any further away from your office than this crummy joint.
Ethelbert, you impugn our motives. He destroys my faith in human nature, Casey.
Yes. The spirit of the day is entirely lost upon this lug.
Casey, if you'd pay me what you already owe this crummy joint, I'd be only too happy to buy you dinner. Get it, Walter?
This guy's too wise for us, Annie.
I'm afraid so, Casey.
Casey, Yeah, Walter.
You went in the bar, Paul, and you said you're dead.
Oh, nuts. I'm only just finished my turkey.
No, this means no dessert, Casey.
I'll see what Burke wants.
Well, stall him off if you can.
Yeah, I'll do my best, Danny. Hello, Grace. Hello, Casey speaking. Look, Burke, we haven't finished our dinner yet. Oh, all right, all right. Wait till I get my pencil in. Corner of Whitestone and Evans. Well, what happened there? What, is that all? For a run-of-the-mill story like that, we gotta leave our dessert? Well, okay, Burke. All right, goodbye. Why I stick to this newspaper racket, I don't know.
What was it, Casey?
All the Look, we gotta get out to Whitestone and Evans, Ann. Some mug just held up a filling station there and got away with a couple of $100 or
something. Did he shoot anyone?
No, no. Huh? Just one of those inside page fillers. Burke says news is light and we gotta cover it.
All right, where is Whitestone and Evans?
It's way uptown, not far from Petrakis Olympian Restaurant. You know, we've eaten there a couple of times.
Yeah, I remember. Any description of the holdup guy?
Yeah, he wore a flashy blue overcoat with red stripes. See you later, pal.
So long, Ethelbert.
So long. Say, wait! Who's gonna pay for this crummy joint?
Here's what happened, Miss Williams. I'm working the station, see? I'm here in the office when this holdup guy opens the door and says, give me your dough.
He had a gun, of course.
Oh, sure, he had a gun. The time was about 7:15.
What did you notice about the guy aside from his flashy overcoat?
Well, he wore his hat pulled down over his eyes and a handkerchief was tied around the lower part of his face. Also, he worked fast.
What'd he do?
Well, he told me to get into the gents' the restroom there and to keep quiet. He locked the door on me and I heard him open up the money drawer there and... Then I heard him leave the joint. I started pounding on the door, and after a while, I managed to bust out. That was about 7:45. And then I phoned the cops.
You mind if I shoot a picture of that busted door, Sergeant?
Go ahead, Casey.
Thanks.
You'll want to picture me, too, won't you, Mr. Casey?
Huh? Are you? Oh, sure, yeah. The door and you. I'll shoot the door first.
It's going to give me old lady a big kick to see me written up on the papers.
Hey, was this big puddle of grease in front of this door, Jones, when the hold-up guy locked you in?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I spilled it there earlier, and I didn't have time to clean it up.
Now, the mug must have stepped in it, Casey. Along with the description of his flashy coat I've sent out, I included instructions to look for a guy with dirty grease stains on his shoes.
Well, the two things together ought to nail him, Sarge.
Yeah, I told the Sarge here something else that ought to nail a guy.
What's that?
Well, one of the bills he stole out of the money drawer was an old 20 that had been torn in two and kind of stuck together with scotch tape. I took it in just before the robbery, so I remember it.
Well, looks like you cops have plenty to work on, Sarge.
Yeah.
Well, we got all there is, Annie. Let's blow out of here. Get back to the Blue Note. Get some plum pudding and coffee.
Aha, come on.
Hey, ain't you going to take my picture first?
Yeah.
I'll kind of stand here by the empty cash drawer, and point my finger at it.
Yeah, that'll be original. Now stand and point, pal. Go ahead.
Great.
All set now. Shoot.
Jones.
Hey, Gus, I'm getting my picture took. Don't walk in front of the camera.
I have just heard what happened to you about that guy in the blue overcoat which holds you up.
Well, I'll tell you all about that later, Gus. As soon as I get my picture.
No, I tell you and those cops about it now.
You'll tell.
Who are you?
Oh, I am Gus Nikopopoulos. I am waiter in Petrakis Olympian Restaurant 3 blocks from here. And I know who is the kid who robbed my good friend Jones.
You know?
Yeah, I know as soon as I am told the news about that fancy overcoat.
What are you talking about?
Yeah, what are you talking about?
I tell you cops everything. Even where to find this hold-up kid. He tell me he is going with his girl to dance land.
Right to pull me off that dance floor, copper.
You don't believe this waiter, Sergeant. Joe hasn't held up anybody.
We're going to see about that. Close the door, will you, Casey?
Okay, Sarge.
Now, this overcoat we got from the check room, it's yours, isn't it, Bowers?
Yeah, that's my coat.
And you, Jones. Say, the guy who stuck you up wore a coat just like it.
It's the same coat, Sergeant.
You're nuts. The store I bought this blanket at, a couple of dozen just like it.
Now, take it easy, kid. If your story's okay, we'll check on everyone who owns a coat like this. I'm going to search you. While I'm at it, you can tell us what you did after leaving Petrakis Restaurant. After you couldn't find your wallet, I mean.
I went straight to my room and house to look for my dough. Finally, I found it in the dresser drawer. And I came straight back to Petrakis for Lottie. That's Miss Newcomb here.
Yeah.
The dough's in that wallet you just took out of my pocket. It's about $40, and it's mine. I didn't steal it.
Hey, is that torn 20 in the wallet, Sergeant?
No, Jones.
Torn 20?
I guess he hasn't got a gun on him either, Sarge.
He's clean, Casey.
Yeah, so are his shoes. Grease would show up plain on those light tans.
Now, he may have changed shoes and hidden a few things.
Yeah. How far is your rooming house from that filling station, kid?
Oh,
it's 2 blocks away down Evans Street. My father runs it.
How long did Joe leave you in Protractus's while he was finding his money?
I didn't time him.
It wasn't more than 15 minutes, maybe a half an hour. So what?
So you had plenty of time to stick up Jones and go to your room before you came back to Protractus's.
All right, if that's the way you dope it, copper, search my room.
I'm going to do that little thing, young fella. All of you. Let's go.
All right, that's the first portion of Casey, Crime Photographer, After Turkey the Bill, starring Stotts Cotsworth from 1947. Now, this is a special edition of the WGN Radio Theater. We play classic radio shows for you every Sunday night from 11 p.m. until 2 o'clock in the morning, but we are presenting a special Thanksgiving program till 10 o'clock tonight. Right, Lisa Wolf?
Yes, which is only 30 more minutes, so we've got a lot to get in.
And did you see, Dan, she was yawning there? The tryptophan is working. She had some turkey. That's it. Are you going to be able to drive home?
I think I can handle
okay?
it. I might just stick around with Dan for a while.
We'll
see
how
it goes.
Some coffee or something like that. All right, let's take a break. Then it's more here on the WGN Radio Theater. All right, Lisa Wolf, the WGN Radio Theater is on the air. We're here till 10 o'clock tonight playing classic radio shows, and they're all Thanksgiving themes. Right?
When you said it's on the air, it reminded me of Bozo Circus, and I was just looking at
Bozo Circus on
the WGN Macy's float this morning.
Oh, yeah.
We were just
watching
a clip of that.
And earlier on television, there was some WGN Bozo stuff going on.
That's what I just said.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was
no, I don't mean that. I don't mean the Macy's Day. I mean, there was an actual Bozo Circus TV show on earlier, sort of celebrating Thanksgiving.
Oh, okay.
I was flipping the channels, and I saw Bob Bell as Bozo
yes,
the Clown.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Remember those days?
Of course
and
I
Ringmaster
do.
Ned and
of
also
course.
Garfield Goose.
Yes, of course.
And do you remember Romper Room?
Yes, I
Romper
watched Romper Room.
Room. I could never figure out how that girl could say my name. She would say, I see Kathy, and I see, and then she would say, I see Carl,
and
I was
like, say Lisa,
what?
Because
she
we had names for the 1960s.
Oh, man.
Isn't that something?
She had some kind of, she was able to look through her camera
her magic
lens
mirror.
And
I
see
know.
Me.
Me too.
And I was in my pajamas getting ready. I was going to get ready to go to school, and I was watching Romper Room.
Romper Room.
That was, what, 150 years ago?
At least.
All right, it is Thanksgiving night here on WGN Radio. I'm Carl Amari, Lisa Wolf to my right. We're in the Studio A. We're on the seventh floor here.
Yeah, this is new and exciting for
it
us.
It is. I like it up here. It's a cool vibe, as you said earlier.
I did say
of course,
that.
I said it first. And
no,
then
I
you
said it, and then now you're saying
then
it
you
again.
You took my words.
Like to copy
she
me.
She likes to just
run
with
it.
Say
what I say.
If I say something that is good, she takes it and runs with it and owns it.
Whatever you say,
right,
I actually
Lisa?
Prefer to say the opposite.
Do you?
To be honest with
really?
You, I usually don't agree with what you say.
Oh, yeah.
That's the fun of it all.
People are like, who are these two crazy people? Well,
yeah, well, we're not married, even though everybody thinks that
well,
we are.
Well, you're married, but just not to me.
That's true.
I'm single.
That's true. I'm married, but we're not married to each other,
no.
is what I'm saying. Even though most people tend to think that we are, we have that kind of... I don't know, a bond in a certain kind of a way.
We do. We're best friends.
We are.
Yeah. And
we just don't go home together at the end of the night.
We're best friends. We've known each other for too long. Yeah, too long. How many years have we known each other, Lisa?
Like Dan Long. How many years have we known each other?
A long, long time.
About 10?
Yeah, that long.
Wow, that is a long
double
time.
Double digits?
Maybe 9. I don't know.
Wow.
More than 8 for sure.
Lisa just celebrated 26 years with her husband, Dan.
I did.
Dan Wolf. Congratulations.
Thank
you. That was very nice. And what did Dan get you for your Did you get a present?
Oh, I couldn't think about it.
Did you get a present?
I did. I couldn't think of it for a second.
You guys, I think didn't you say he got you like a massage or something like that?
He did.
All right.
I haven't cashed in yet. I'm waiting to do it.
Massages are nice.
A nice 90-minute massage. So I'm excited about that.
Lisa has four children.
I have three. And they're all home from college, and it's a busy house. So
Lisa and I have been playing classic radio shows on the air on different venues for many, many years.
About what? How many years? Since
2009. Yeah, 7 years.
About 7 years.
And we started doing the WGN Radio Theater in April of this year. So we've been on over 6 months. We know for sure it's over 6 months.
It's about 34 weeks.
34 weeks.
Yes, and I'm counting.
And so all of your favorite classic radio shows, Jack Benny, The Shadow, Gunsmoke, Boston Blackie, The Whistler, Dragnet, we play them every Sunday night from 11 p.m. until 2 a.m. Monday morning. And this is just a special edition that we're doing on Thanksgiving and playing some Thanksgiving programs.
Because we couldn't stay away all week. We couldn't wait till Sunday, so we decided to come back.
This is the most fun I have during the week.
Me too.
Playing these classic radio shows for our WGN radio listeners. Okay, we are tuning in to KC Crime Photographer on original broadcast date of November 27, 1947. It's called After Turkey the Bill. Let's get back to part two, the conclusion now of KC Crime Photographer.
Lottie, why have you and Joe come home with all these people and these policemen?
Everything's all right, Dad. They've made a mistake about Joe, but it's going to be all right.
A mistake about Joe?
A big mistake, Mr. Newcomb.
I don't understand.
I'm Sergeant Healy, 5th Detective District. There was a stick-up a few blocks from here tonight, and Joe Bowers here is under suspicion.
A stick-up? Joe?
He didn't do it, Dad. I know he didn't.
You were with him, Lottie. You must know.
Your daughter wasn't with him for a long half hour. Mr. Newcomb, I haven't taken time to get a search warrant, so I'd like your permission to go over Joe's room.
Give him a go-ahead. I have. He'll find nothing to tie me up with any heist, John.
All right with you, sir?
Oh, yes, of course.
Thanks. Take me to your room, Bowers.
Come on.
Everybody else stay here with this uniformed officer.
Miss Williams and I'd like to go with you and Joe, Sarge.
Okay, Casey.
Well, thanks, Sergeant.
My room's on the next floor. It's right up those stairs.
Well, lead the way, kid. And don't try anything tricky.
Why should I try anything? What you got on me is it a stick-up guy wore an overcoat like mine. And that's all you're gonna get. There's the door of my room, cop. Open it. Make yourself at home.
Give me a key.
The door isn't locked. I never bother. I'll turn on the lights. Now do your stuff.
I will.
You won't find anything locked up here. Because I got nothing worth stealing. And nothing to hide. Now, if you were going to work in my cousin's room across the hall, you'd need a fistful of keys. He's one of those careful, secretive guys, you know.
You got a cousin living across the hall?
Yeah, his name's Ferd, or Ferdinand. And is he a crumb?
I take it you don't like him.
I like him about as much as he likes me, maybe more. Because he's been making a play for my girl. He isn't getting anywhere. How you doing, copper? You see anything of the dough I'm supposed to have stolen or the gat you think I use in that stick-up?
Not yet, kid.
And you won't. I'm 100% in the clear.
Oh, yeah? How did this get under your carpet?
What?
Casey.
A torn $20 bill. Stuck together with scotch tape.
I never saw that bill before.
And I think Jones will identify it as the one taken from his cash drawer.
Wait a minute. There's more dough under this rug, Sarge. A couple of $100 at least.
I spotted it, Casey.
I don't know how it got there. I didn't pull that stick up.
Cut the comedy, Joe. This money nails
this
you.
This is a frame-up. I tell you, it's a
frame-up.
Where'd
you hide your gun?
I never had a gun, I swear.
Come clean, kid. Where's the gun?
Wait a minute. Will you give me a break? Let me think. Let me think a minute. Yeah. Yeah, there's just one mug who'd pull a thing like this. And if you're right, guys, you won't let him get away with it. Question Ferd, Sergeant. Question my cousin Ferd. His room's right across the hall.
Might be a good idea, Sergeant.
Okay. Let's go over.
There's the room.
Yes?
I'd like to talk to you a minute. This is the police.
Just a second. I was just starting to get ready for bed.
I'm Detective Sergeant Healy, young man. This is Miss Williams and Mr. Casey. How are you?
Hello there.
What do you want?
Let me close this door. Your cousin Joe here has made some accusations against you that it's my duty to investigate.
Oh, he has he?
Do you own an overcoat like Joe's here? Blue with red stripes?
An overcoat like that?
Or have you ever worn one?
I wouldn't wear a zoot blanket like that if you paid me.
You say?
Yes, I say.
Mind if I look around your room?
Why?
Bert, someone wearing an overcoat like Joe's held up the Whitestone filling station tonight and...
What? You know where I bought this coat, Ferd. I think you got one just like it on the QT. I think you slipped my wallet out of my pocket just before I left here with Lottie tonight, so I'd have to leave her and look for it. You were watching the restaurant when I left it. You went to that filling station.
Why, you're crazy. Sergeant, you can't believe it.
Maybe I don't. But I want to search your room.
Oh, wait a minute.
Huh?
Have you got a search warrant?
No.
Then get out of here.
Say.
I know my rights. Unlike a certain relative of mine, I've got a clean record.
Who are you calling a lousy
You,
record?
Joe.
Why, I'll knock
and
your
teeth out.
Cut it, both of you. So you don't want me to search your room, hey, young fella?
You heard me before, Sergeant.
Hey, pal, wait a minute. You're taking the wrong attitude. If you got nothing to hide, this isn't the way to show it.
He's got a good reason for saying you can't search, and I'm going to prove it.
Keep out of that closet, Joe.
Make me if you can.
I'll make you.
Hold it, Ferd.
Let me go.
Come on, Joe. I'll get a warrant.
You won't need a warrant, Sarge. Look there.
What?
In the back of his closet, covered with other clothes.
Oh. An overcoat like yours.
Just like mine.
And in his pocket, there's a gun.
I never saw that coat before. I never saw that gun.
Well, somebody did. Come on. I'm taking you both to headquarters.
I don't know how that overcoat got in my closet, Sergeant. I swear I never saw it or that gun before.
So you've been saying, Ford. Both of you get into this car.
You did this to me, Joe.
Sure, I got wise to your frame up, you louse. I threw it right back at you.
We'll continue our discussion at the station house.
Of course, you'll only hold me long enough to get my testimony. I'll be back home in an hour or so.
Maybe. You and Miss Williams tagging along after us, Casey?
No, Sarge. I may give you a buzz later, though.
We still have our Thanksgiving dinner to finish.
So why don't you two get jobs that won't make you work on holidays?
Why don't you?
You mean like Captain Logan?
I've been thinking about it for the last 25 years. Good night.
Night, Sergeant Healy. Come on, let's get into our car, Casey. And get our stuff to the paper.
I'm going back to that rooming house, Annie.
Why?
Are you convinced that Cousin Ferd framed Cousin Joe?
Well, his attempt to prevent a search of his room didn't look very good.
Annie, I'm just thinking.
Well, Joe found that overcoat with what might be called surprising ease.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to believe that Joe would invite his own arrest in order to frame his cousin. Why, one little slip...
The framer, whoever he is, did make a slip, Annie. His plan didn't anticipate a grease puddle. And he had to get rid of a pair of shoes that may walk back and kick him.
Well, none of the shoes in Joe's room or in Ferd's had any grease stains on them.
No? Sergeant Healy hasn't forgotten those missing shoes, and he'll be back pretty soon to really look for them. Well, I'm going to start looking right now.
Oh.
Ring Newcomb's bell.
Sometimes I wish your snooping instincts were more restrained, Casey. I'd like a cup of coffee now and...
Hi, Mr. Newcomb.
Mr. Casey.
Yes, may we come in?
Of course, but I...
We didn't go with Sergeant Healy and his prisoners. Wanted to ask, how's your daughter now? She wasn't taking this thing very well when we left.
Oh, she feels terrible about it. Miss Williams, perhaps a woman can talk to her better than I can. Will you try to convince her that everything will come out all right.
Well, I'll gladly try, Mr. Newcomb.
She's in our private living room.
Yeah, go on in and talk to her alone, Annie. I'll stay here.
All right.
It breaks my heart to see my girl crying. Mr. Casey, she's all I have. She blames herself for what has happened. It isn't her fault that two young fools became so infatuated with her. I knew they hated each other, but I never anticipated anything like this.
No, guess not.
Of course, you had some reason for coming back here, Mr. Casey.
Yes, I came back to ask your permission.
Yes?
I want permission to ask a few personal questions between ourselves and off the record.
Very well.
You haven't wanted Joe for a son-in-law, have you?
In my place, would you? The boy has served a reformatory sentence that, according to my observation, has failed to steady him or improve his sense of values. Mm.
Ferd has been Joe's opposite, I imagine.
He always seems so.
Lottie strikes me as a pretty sensible girl, Mr. Newcomb. Unless one of those fellas confesses he framed the other, or it can be definitely proven, she'll doubt both of them too much to marry either one of them.
Yes, I think that's so.
And as there'll be no confession or definite proof, things should work out exactly as you plan.
As I planned?
You're the guy behind this double frame-up.
Well, Mr. Casey...
You didn't think I'd be back, did you? You shouldn't have changed back into those comfortable old shoes after Sergeant Healy left here. You did a lousy job of cleaning off that grease.
Oh, but...
You held up that filling station and framed both the boys to keep your daughter from marrying either one of them.
I was very foolish, wasn't I?
Yes, I think so. Shall I call Sergeant Healy?
All right. You can call Sergeant Healy, Mr. Casey. I'm ready to confess.
Wait a minute. Wait. Let me take a close look at those shoes.
What?
The pool of grease in that filling station you heard us talk about wasn't deep enough to reach far above the soles of a shoe. Hey. You greased those shoes yourself. You spread it on so thick it covers the toes and heels.
I didn't spread it on.
Pal, you're a beautiful liar. And I'm a beautiful dope. You greased those shoes and put them on knowing the cops had come back and spot them. You were willing to take the rap. Because your kid is in love with one of those punks.
You can't prove that. Nobody can. And when I confess, that's all that's needed.
You forget. The police lab will compare the grease on these shoes with the filling station grease, and it won't be the same. And then Sergeant Healy will go right back to work on Joe and Ferd.
The police laboratory can tell?
Yes, definitely, Mr. Newcomb. But if it couldn't, don't you think your confession would be much harder for your daughter to take than the loss of a little rat she thinks she cares for?
But I couldn't bear to see her cry anymore. All I could think of to do was what I tried. You see, I know the guilty boy, Mr. Casey, and she's loved Joe ever since they were children.
You know Joe?
I found his grease-stained shoes hidden in the cellar tonight. His taste in shoes is like his taste in overcoats, so I could make no mistake.
Huh. Well, let's get him and take him to the cops. Later, Mr. Newcomb, your daughter's going to realize that the lowdown she'll get on Joe tonight is a cause for real Thanksgiving.
So, the shoes fit Joe and he had to wear them, huh, Casey?
Hmm. They pinched so tight he cracked wide open, Ethelbert. He admitted planting a duplicate of his coat in Ferd's closet, everything.
If his scheme had worked, Lottie would never have spoke to Ferd again and she'd have married Joe.
Well, that was Joe's idea, Ethelbert, but it worked out in reverse. Lottie sank into Ferd's manly arms when she heard the lowdown and she seemed very comfortable.
Gee, what some guys will do for love. As my sister Edna says, quote, if love didn't make the world go round, there wouldn't be so much dizziness. Unquote.
Or so much niceness.
Yeah. A grand guy. Lottie's old man. Hey, Annie, what's the matter with us? We got plum pudding and coffee still coming to us. How about it, Ethelbert, huh?
Oh, it's about time.
Oh, what's so funny?
There isn't any more.
Crime Photographer, starring Stotts Cotsworth as Casey, is brought to you each Thursday by the Anchor Hawking Glass Corporation, makers of Fire King Oven Glass, Anchor Glass Containers, Anchor Caps and Closures, all products of Anchor Hawking, the most famous name in glass. Photographer is directed by John Dietz. The original music is by Archie Blyer, and the program features Miss Jan Miner as Anne and John Gibson as Ethelbert. Herman Chittison is the Blue Note pianist. This is Tony Marvin saying goodnight for the Anchor Hawking Glass Corporation of Lancaster, Ohio, with offices in all principal cities of the United States and Canada. CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
There you have it, Lisa Wolf, Casey Crime Photographer, November 27, 1947, After Turkey the Bill, starring Stotts Cotsworth. That's a radio drama detective adventure, a Thanksgiving program, as heard on CBS. Hope you enjoyed that, everyone out there in Radio Land. Let's take a quick break, then it's more here on the WGN Radio Theater. Hey, so we have a website, folks. We have a website for this radio show, WGN Radio Theater. If you go there, you can see exactly what we're playing every Sunday night at 11 p.m. We're on the air 3 hours every Sunday. Lisa Wolf and I and Dan Long and Mike Estella, our executive producer, we're here doing this show on Sundays, playing classic radio shows for you. We also have a Facebook page.
I was going to say, we post on Facebook what we're going to play as well. So you can check out our Facebook at WGN Radio Theater.
And also, we post pictures of the stars. Like we have, if you go there now, you'll see a picture of Stotts Cotsworth, who is Casey Crime Photographer. We have a picture of Fibber McGee and Molly. So we do that as well. So our Facebook page, just search us at WGN Radio Theater.